Hello, this is Ken Smith welcoming you to our Bringing a Message radio programme, brought to you by the By All Means Gospel Trust in Solihull, England. Before today's message, I want to tell you about our Break and Meditate booklet of short daily readings based on a verse or part verse from the Bible. Morris Payne has been writing these short meditations, and people from all walks of life have written to tell us the blessing they have been. They are quite short, and I have asked Hilary to read one of them to you.
Peace Among Men, Luke 2, verse 14. Is there a continent on earth but somewhere in it war is not raging? Is there a nation where all its homes are peaceful and no innocent blood is shed? Where is this peace among men to be found? Jesus is declared to be the Prince of Peace. His peace is in the hearts of those who receive him. He has a claim on every life to bring peace with God and peace with ourselves and our fellow men. The fight against sin, disease and poverty goes on. The need in these areas is as great as ever. Look in the hearts of those who have found peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ if you would find this peace. By believing, they are justified by faith. And peace is the first named blessing of this experience.
Break and Meditate booklets are sent quite free of charge. Write or email us with your address today and we'll see you get a copy. Today, Morris Payne continues his series on John's Gospel with a picture of Jesus the King, taken from the 18th chapter. Pontius Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you a king then?" And it is recognizing him and making him the king of our lives that is the most important step in coming to God through Jesus. Hilary is reading the scriptures and making the closing announcement. Music is by Peter Jackson and Singers. We're always glad to hear from our listeners. And so do write to us if this program is of a special blessing to you. Stay tuned for today's message.
In the 18th chapter of John's Gospel, we get a picture of Jesus, the King.
"You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." John 18, verse 37.
The serious answer Jesus gave to Pilate's suggestion, "You're a king then," was not said in jest. Something about the prisoner who stood before him and the realization of the responsibility he had in judging him was making him seriously question the accusation the Jews brought against him. The outward appearance of Jesus may be like that of any Galilean peasant as he stood bound before Pilate as the representative of Imperial Rome, but appearance was not all to go by. Or this would have been the least like a royal occasion you could imagine. Appearances can be deceptive. We recall that about 30 years before this, wise men had travelled far from the east, following a star, and seeking one whom they said was born King of the Jews. Then they found a young child. Many years before, Isaiah had prophesied,
"Your eyes will see the King in his beauty." Chapter 33, verse 17.
Yet this scene in Pilate's judgment hall would seem far removed from the fulfilment of such a prophecy. A week or so earlier, the prophecy of Zechariah had been fulfilled when he wrote,
"Your King comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey." Chapter 9, verse 9.
Perhaps the crowds that lined the highway recognised the fulfilment too, as they strew their garments in the way and cried,
"Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David." Mark 11, verses 9 and 10.
But now the mood was so different. The crowd outside that would not enter in lest they be defiled on their Sabbath were crying, "Away with him! Give us Barabbas!" A common thief, condemned for taking part in a rebellion and awaiting sentence. Yet, even the crowd that hurled this abuse at the prisoner, so recently apprehended as he left the garden or olive grove where they were meeting, didn't lose the idea of a king. They cried, "He claims to be Christ, a king." And it was this point that Pilate picked up. In Luke chapter 17, we see the Pharisees asking Jesus when the kingdom of God should come. They wanted their Messiah to free them from the yoke of Rome. On several occasions, the crowd wanted to take Jesus and make him king. But now the crowd turned against him and brought the accusation that, as claiming to be the King of the Jews, he threatened to overthrow Rome. When Pilate taunted them with the question,
"Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?"
they cried,
"We have no king but Caesar."
Jesus was indeed a king as he stood before Pilate. And there was something that made Pilate refuse to dismiss his case. "You were a king then," was an earnest question. What was there about this man who stood before him? We now recognize what Pilate missed. His prisoner was the Lord of glory, the one who in John's revelation was to be hailed as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. He upholds all things. God invested heaven's glory in his Son. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and the splendour of Rome paled into insignificance as he stood before Pilate. If only Pilate had known this, he might have asked, why was he there? We know the answer, and we recognise and honour his majesty. But Pilate missed it all. Jesus had not fulfilled the expectation of the crowd in regards to his kingship. They looked for a king who would free them from the yoke of Rome. That was their understanding of the Old Testament prophecies. John tells us that after the crowd saw the miracle we call the feeding of the 5,000, they said,
"Surely this is the prophet who is to come."
And they attempted to take him by force and make him a king. In Matthew's Gospel, we read that Jesus came preaching that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This and his many parables involving a king make it not surprising that his hearers wondered if he were the king, as he said.
The kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Matthew 18, verse 23.
Again, Jesus told the parable of the wedding banquet where the king prepared a banquet for his son. In the parable of the sheep and the goats, we see it is the king who says to those on his right,
"Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance." Matthew 25:34.
The kingdom was uppermost in his hearers' minds. Not only did he come preaching the gospel of the kingdom, he sent out his disciples to preach the kingdom of heaven is near. And when they spoke to him after his death and resurrection, the disciples asked him,
"Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" Acts 1 verse 6.
Pilate put three questions to Jesus. First, are you the king of the Jews? We owe it to the other gospel writers to describe the way Jesus' accusers told Pilate that he had claimed to be king of the Jews, and it was for this reason, they argued, "We have no king but Caesar," when Pilate presented Jesus to them as their king. That's the first question. Are you the king of the Jews? The second question, what is it you have done? And it was in answer to this question that Jesus began to speak of his kingdom. And the third question Pilate asked, what is truth? This was asked because Jesus said that he came into the world to testify to the truth. So, Pilate had obviously detected something different about this prisoner and suspected that in some way the accusation that he was a king might be true and deserved further inquiry, and so asked Jesus what he had done. Jesus' answer, as we shall see, extracted the response, "You are a king then," from Pilate. Jesus answered positively to Pilate's question, "You are right in saying I am a king." All heaven would say amen to this, as do the messianic prophecies of the Old Testament, and as does every blood-bought child of God ever since. Jesus is king. As John later saw and described in his great apocalyptic vision, "Lord of Lords and King of Kings," in Revelation 17, verse 14. A glance at any Bible concordance will show how frequently the word king occurs in the scriptures. We might describe it as the Book of the Kings, as two of its books are already designated with this name. And history has also raised up many with this title. But Jesus is king of them all. Listen to this verse found in the book of Revelation, chapter 19, about the one on a white horse.
"On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Revelation 19, verse 16.
Jesus' own description of his kingdom can be divided into three. First, his kingdom is not of this world. Second, his servants do not engage in conventional warfare in the defence of that kingdom. And third, then another place, a definite location of Christ's kingdom may be found. The fact that Christ's kingdom is not of this world at once makes us realise we need to look elsewhere. And that can only be among those things that are unseen and eternal. It's the things that are seen that are temporal. It's the unseen things that are eternal. And the eternal things are more important than the temporal things. The rule and sovereignty of Jesus means nothing if there's not an invisible yet very real spiritual world. That it is not of this world means that it is not in direct opposition to the kingdoms that are in this world. Jesus' second statement to Pilate gave a reason why his servants were not rushing to his aid now that he'd been apprehended, but that he was standing alone and dressed in a simple garment before the representative of Imperial Rome. Jesus' third statement, that his kingdom was from another place, could only make Pilate wonder where that place might be. If Jesus was the Messiah, the Jews expected him to usher in the kingdom. This may have been the thinking behind the Pharisees asking Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. On that occasion, Jesus told them that you'll not find the kingdom of God by looking around you. Listen to this verse from Luke 17.
Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, 'Here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you."
That's important. The kingdom of God is where the king reigns, and it's within the hearts of his true subjects. Pilate may have thought he recognized a king standing before him, but he couldn't see his kingdom. It's a blessed revelation to recognize Jesus as king, and ever more so to accept and receive him. The verse of the song says, "Jesus is king, and I will extol him." The kingdom of God is wherever the Son of God reigns. Since his atoning death for the sin of the world, he dwells by his Spirit in the hearts of all who know his cleansing. We know he reigns in heaven, but his kingdom extends just as truly into the hearts of his followers. I've sometimes hired a car when in a foreign country, and I say to others who are with me, "In this car, it's a little bit of England." It's a poor but useful illustration of the life of the believer. Where Jesus reigns within the heart, then that life is a little bit of heaven. The body will have to be left one day, just as I returned the car I borrowed. But then the soul saved by Jesus will be united with that glorious company in heaven. Jesus enlarged upon the truth that he was a king, since Pilate had recognized it and Jesus had confirmed it. He said he was born a king to testify to the truth. As Son of God, he was co-eternal with the Father. Listen to what he said in John chapter 8.
"Before Abraham was born, I am."
And John begins his gospel.
"In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God."
The king laid aside his robes, his insignia of glory, and came into our world through the womb of Mary. Rarely did that glory shine through in a physical sense during his 33 or so years on earth. And here, in this chapter, we find him standing in a plain peasant's robe before Pilate. But his words and demeanour pointed otherwise. He told Pilate that the purpose the king came was to testify to the truth. The kingship of Christ is over a kingdom of truth. Jesus said, "I am the truth." You can believe on him. You must believe if you are to be saved. And because he is truth and speaks or testifies to the truth, If you do believe, you will never be ashamed or confounded. Pontius Pilate had never found the truth. To be standing before the one who was the truth was not enough. He had to reach out and accept it. A day would come for Pilate and will come for all of us when we stand before Jesus, our judge. The Apostle Paul said,
"We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ."
In that day, it will be all important that we found the truth in this life to know the bliss of heaven in the next. It's not enough to know about Jesus, not enough to have read his word or even spoken his name. We need to know him, receive him, know the healing and forgiveness that he brings and the life, his gift of eternal life. The dialogues that John records between Pilate and Jesus, and Pilate and the Jews, might suggest that Pilate was obsessed with this truth of Jesus the King. After asking Jesus if he is a king, Pilate asked the Jews if they wanted him to release their king.
Pilate said, "But it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. John 18, verse 39 to 19, verse 1.
When Pilate had Jesus flogged, and his soldiers mockingly dressed him in a purple robe, they cried, "Hail, King of the Jews!" When at last it looked as though Pilate could persuade the crowd, he presented Jesus to them with the words, "Here is your king." And when they refused, he asked, "Shall I crucify your king?" Pilate ordered the erection of a notice about the crucified Jesus, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." And when they objected to the wording, asking it to be changed to, "This man claimed to be the King of the Jews," Pilate said, "What I've written, I've written." Well, Pilate was chosen of God to let all who gazed at Calvary know that Jesus is King. That he came to our earth to save those who would believe and receive him is marvellous. The important thing is your answer to Pilate's question to the crowds who were demanding the life of Jesus. "What will you do with Jesus?" Pilate asked. Now we behold him as our Saviour, standing alone in Pilate's judgment hall, soon to be taken out to be crucified, bearing our sins in his body on the tree. Those outstretched arms are there to save us. God, in his wisdom and mercy, has never allowed the vision of Calvary to disappear from the pages of history. The message of the gospel is preached around the world today more often than ever before. The Holy Spirit is working in the hearts and minds of the hearers. As you feel a drawing power to the wonder of that place called Calvary, think of the words of Jesus, "I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." Think of the multitudes who've come to him over the years, asking for forgiveness, claiming the gift of eternal life he will give to those who believe. Think of the joy of heaven in the hearts and minds of his followers ever since. Those outstretched arms are there to save us. He calls us to come to him. The message of Calvary is important in our lives today. Not with the inquisitive questioning that Pilate exhibited, "Do we need to come?" but to repent of our sin, to call upon him and receive him as Saviour, then to make him King and to extol and worship his matchless name.
The Bringing a Message programme you have just heard is produced by the By All Means Gospel Trust, based in the United Kingdom. We are always pleased to hear from our listeners, and there are several ways you can contact us. You can write to us at BAM Gospel Trust, P.O. Box 986, Bourne, B-O-U-R-N, Cambridge, CB23, 2YX. You can email us info@bringingamessage.org, or you can use the response form on our website's contact page. To hear this program again or to find out more about the Trust's work and publications, go to our website www.bringingamessage.org. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. One of our publications is called Break and Meditate. This contains short comments on a verse from the Bible, one for each day. This is available free either as a booklet mailed every 2 months or as a file emailed monthly. The reading for the day is also available on the Read page of our website. BAM also produce Bible study books and booklets. One booklet is produced every 2 months, and several earlier series are available from our website, where you will also find details of all available publications. The work of BAM is supported by donations. If you would like to contribute to this ministry, why not use the secure CAF donate form on our website's support page? And now listen to Peter Jackson and Singers as they sing, "Precious Saviour, draw me closer, closer to your heart of love. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, all my barriers remove."
Thank you for joining us today. Listen at the same time next week. Until then, this is Ken Smith saying goodbye, and may God richly bless you.